All right, thank you, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It was our pleasure earlier this hour to welcome David Scott from HBO Real Sports. Let's continue on with that fine news gathering show, HBO Real Sports, because John Frankel is with us now, and just debuting last night about how sports and the coronavirus is coming together to what we can learn, what we can help. And John's here to talk about how a lacrosse equipment company started making some masks. The company is called Cascade Lacrosse. And John, welcome to the show. I guess there are a lot of companies in America. I just had a sail maker normally makes sails for boats. He's making masks now. I guess a lot of these companies are sort of redefining what they do right now, right?
They are indeed, Rick, and they've just, I think the common ground here is wanting to help. I think also they find themselves not working. Many of these companies, by virtue of what we're going through, sent their workforces home. And I think it's two-pronged. It's one, helping those on the front line, those in the hospitals who need the PPE equipment. And two, it's a way to keep some of their workforce, if not their entire workforce, intact and provide salaries and an income for people. But I think it's the seed of it, the origin, is that they wanted to do something good. And a lot of these companies, are they uniquely set up to do this? You might argue that they are in certain cases. Cascade, this is a company that makes lacrosse equipment, helmets and such. And so in their case, the raw materials were there. They were the same things that they used to make lacrosse equipment. And so it wasn't out of left field that they said, hey, we can do this. And so because their supply lines were very much intact, because most of their suppliers are not more than 100 miles away from their facility, their manufacturing facility just outside of Syracuse, New York, and Liverpool, they were able to keep that flowing. And they were able to bring back 13, 14, 15 people of their 50-person work staff so that they could safely social distance and do this. And much of the work is being done by hand, making the bands, using the foam, using the plastics. And what they've created are those plastic visors that many people by now are probably familiar with that you might liken to welding masks. And so it's a one-size-fits-all, and this foam is put inside the piece of plastic, and it rests against your forehead, and the strap goes around the back of your head, and then it drops down and covers almost your neckline. And so they've been able to take a manufacturing line that was shut down, and now they're up to producing about 3,000 of these masks a day and distributing them at cost, I should say. They're not making a profit, but just covering their costs to frontline medical staff.
When you think about, you know, World War One, we were more of an isolationist country, and we were only in World War One less than 2 years. But I remember reading about how Congress gave President Wilson what they called a War Industries Board, where he could take, you know, a lot of the people who manufacture goods and put them towards the war effort. And then in World War Two, Roosevelt had a couple of War Powers Acts that he had. So after World War Two, they said, look, we don't want to be caught, you know, unprepared again. So they got together and they call this the Defense Production Act. Secretary of War now, Secretary of Defense, the Defense Production Act. So with Trump talking about, I'm going to enact it, I'm not going to enact it, when it comes to Cascade, is this part of the Defense Production Act or is this voluntary?
This was strictly voluntary. This was something that within a matter of, I think it might have been the same day or a couple days after sending their workforce home. A couple of their lead people had heard that there was this shortage of masks. One person lived down the street from a nurse. Another person lived near a doctor. And they heard about these things just through word of mouth. And they just put their heads together and said, well, wait a minute, we know how to do this. And again, we have the materials to do it. And it all happened really, really quickly. And so they were able to, within 3-4 days, they were able to take materials and do this. And it's funny because I did ask them whether they had ever seen something like this, you know, taking an idea from the drawing board to actually production and then getting it out into the field. And they laughed at me because they knew how ridiculous that was. But it shows what people can do when they are motivated to help. And in fact, so not only did they do this voluntarily, what they also did voluntarily was realizing and recognizing that they couldn't service all of the needs. They took their design plans and put them out on the internet because they had started to get calls from other companies. And they just said, here's how we're doing it. And lo and behold, other companies followed suit. They have a sister company. They're part of the Bauer Hockey Company. And north of the border in Canada, one of their sister companies started to do the same thing, and they were able to do it on even a larger scale. And they've been producing masks up there for everybody. So it's just one example. And so it didn't require a government act. It's one example of the private sector stepping up.
A couple more questions for John Frankel, HBO Real Sports. You interviewed Dr. Liza Hartofalos, and, you know, it was very emotional. She sent her husband and her kids away so that they would be safe, and then she's worried she might never see them again. And I think that's important to bring in frontline people like her, because for a lot of us, the frontline people we see are the DoorDash guy, you know, and we sometimes forget about being in the trenches like these doctors and nurses and health givers are.
Yep. Dr. Hartofalos, it's a really nice full circle story, if you will, because Dr. Hartofalos, who works in an emergency room in New York City, was a two-time national champion lacrosse player at Princeton. And so she had been familiar with Cascade, knowing that they made lacrosse equipment. And she only was connected to them because her husband, who was also an All-American lacrosse player at Princeton, was posting about her and the work that she was doing on the front lines. And Cascade got word of this, and so the connection was made. And, you know, much to her surprise, Cascade had sent four boxes of visors to Dr. Hartofalos for her and to share with her colleagues at this New York City hospital. And yes, you're absolutely right that you're talking about face masks, but when you're able to put a face to this and understand where these face masks are going and how they're being used and how they're protecting people who are, you know, working and selflessly and putting themselves on the line and at the risk that they will be sick, and as she said, so emotionally that she was afraid that she might never see her husband and kids again when she allows her mind to sort of go down that rabbit hole in the dark side. So it's really nice that here's this lacrosse player turned doctor is now getting the benefits from a lacrosse company.
And then now, I'm doing this show from my house through Skype, through our studios in San Francisco, and we're all getting used to it, but for you to do these types of reporting on Zoom or whatever it is, what are some of the challenges that you guys have at HBO for even putting a show together like this?
It's been a remarkable effort, and I don't want to try and equate this to the effort that people are putting in saving lives. And as you well know, as we often say about television, it ain't brain surgery. And it's not fighting the virus. I think we're trying to do the best that we can do in regards to what's happening. And, you know, so, you know, what David Scott's piece threw some light on. Listen, our producing staff is terrific. They've worked hard. As one of my producers on this piece said, I gently harassed because we ended up interviewing a doctor over in London who works in a central London hospital. And they were able, with the help of Formula One, Mercedes Formula One racing team, they were able to get CPAP machines redesigned essentially and make them 75% more efficient. And a CPAP machine is somewhere between an oxygen tank and a ventilator. So you can probably help somebody from ever reaching the stage where they need a ventilator with another type of breathing machine. And they were old and antiquated, And Mercedes was able to, within 100 hours, turn their factory around that was used to, you know, making engines and perfecting engines and getting every last mile per hour out of those engines into making these machines. And so I said to our producer, Katie Malone, who was able to track down this doctor in the hospital and managed to get us on a FaceTime call with a patient who had been the beneficiary of one of these machines. I said, how'd you do it? And she said, gentle harassment, which is legally defensible in the court of journalism, which I thought was a wonderful phrase. and so it's that way. Listen, do we miss, you know, on the one hand, I was surprised that Dr. Liza Hartopoulos in New York got so emotional. The patient in London, Ertan Azim, was emotional about seeing his family and how thankful he was that Mercedes and the doctors were able to figure out how to create this resource for them and for thousands of others. I was amazed that the distance and the screen between us did not interrupt the flow of conversation as much as I would have thought, and that people were allowed to feel comfortable and emotional through this, through the way we did it, which was using Zoom in this case. You know, from a personal standpoint, I've produced and directed and shot a couple of my own documentaries, so I'm sort of familiar with shooting. And we used, not only did we use Zoom, but to make it look as much like a normal shoot as we could, we used iPhones as well. One was in front of me looking over the edge of the computer as if it were the subject looking at me. There was another iPhone that was over my shoulder looking down at the screen where the subject, the interview subject, could be seen, so that you got the relationship between the subject and me. And we had some lights and we used lavalier microphones. So it wasn't quite as elementary as we've been doing in some cases, you know, but this was, you know, I wouldn't say it was sophisticated, but technology today allows us to do some remarkable things. And I think that we got a lot out of it. And I think to all of our surprises, it worked fairly seamlessly.
No doubt about it. And everybody check it out. It's on HBO right now. HBO Real Sports, of course, with Bryant Gumbel at the helm. We've been speaking with John Frankel. John, congratulations on another great episode, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Appreciate it, Rick. Thanks for your time and interest.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline USA.